The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. At that time, John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he does not follow us." Jesus replied, "Do not prevent him. There is no one who performs a mighty deed in my name who can at the same time speak ill of me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Anyone who gives you a cup of water to drink, because you belong to Christ, amen, I say to you, will surely not lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than with two hands to go into Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life crippled than with two feet to be thrown into Gehenna. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into Gehenna, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." The Gospel of the Lord. We are reading today for our first reading. We are taking our first reading from the book of Numbers. Now, it is very, very rare that we read from the book of Numbers during our liturgical year. So I think it behooves us to try to understand a little bit more about what the book of Numbers is all about. For one thing, the book of Numbers is one of the five books in the set of collection which we call the Torah. Torah is the collection of the first five books of the Bible, which is very, very sacred to the Jews. Now, it is called Numbers. I think it's an unfortunate title for that book to be called Numbers, because really, it's about the story of the people of God after they left Mount Sinai. Now, it is called Numbers because the original title in Greek was Arithmoi, from which we got the word arithmetic. Arithmoi, numbers. Now, why arithmoi? Why numbers? Well, when they left Mount Sinai and to move forward into the promised land, there were two censuses that were taken of the people of God. So those two censuses were referred to as numbers, numbering the people of God. Well, like I said, yeah, there was that census, but then the book of Numbers it's something like a book of tragedy. It's like a book written by Shakespeare, you know, a lot of tragedy. Because the book of Numbers wrote down the many betrayals of the people of God, of the covenant given to them by God. So there were many sad memories in that, in the book of Numbers. And I would encourage you to one of these days open the chapter of the scripture and then go through the book of Numbers. It's very sobering and very illuminating. But the episode that we have here today is that episode when Moses was so burdened, so burdened by governing the people that he turned to Jethro, the father-in-law, for some wisdom. And Jethro said, "Well, you know, you cannot govern all these people on your own. You need to have assistance." And so he says, "Elect 70 men who are leaders of the tribe, and they will co-govern with you." And that's what Moses did. And after the 70 men were elected, he prayed over them so that part of the Spirit that was given to him will be imparted on these men. Now, as he was doing that liturgy, Medad and Adad, and these two men were not present during the liturgy. They were out there somewhere. I don't know. Maybe they woke up early or had a hangover, but they were not present during the liturgy. And yet, God in His generosity, God in His desire to make prophets of His people, also gave the same Spirit to these two men who were not present at the liturgy of giving the graces. And so Joshua was jealous and says, you know, that those two men who were not here, they were also prophesying. And Moses said, would that all the people of God be prophets. You know, that's the lament of Moses. Because like I said, the book of Numbers, that episode in the history of Israel, was full of tragedy, full of betrayals of the people of God. Because they did not know what God meant. They did not know the will of God. And the reason for that is, the Spirit was not given to them yet. The fullness of the Holy Spirit will be given to the people of God with the coming of the Messiah, with Jesus Christ, the Messiah of the Lord. You know, that the heavens will be opened. Someone like Prophet Joel longed for that day and actually prophesied for the coming of the Holy Spirit when he said, the day is coming when your young man will dream dreams and an old man will dream visions. Those are poetic words that speak of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Who will come? At the time when the Messiah comes, when Jesus comes into the picture. And so now, fast forward that now to the gospel reading in Mark. And now, here is Jesus. And now we have the Messiah. And now, the fullness of the Spirit is now given to the people of God. We are now moving away from our tragic history of betraying the Lord. Now we are being given the very power to fulfill the covenant that we have with God, the very power to follow God and be truly God's people. And the episode here is just a little foretaste of the fullness that is to come. And so here you have two groups. You have two groups that are involved in the Gospel of Mark. One group was close to Jesus. They have Jesus with them. In short, they have the fullness of the Spirit with them because they were with Jesus. These were the apostles. These were the disciples who were following the Lord. And then there's this strange man who seems to be outside of the circle. And yet, wonder of wonders, this man was also casting out demons. You see, at the time of Jesus, especially in Mark, there's a big preoccupation about driving out demons. That's the number one ministry of the apostles and even Christ himself. And so they're driving out demons. And so this other man who do not belong to the circle, who do not belong to the fullness of the Spirit, of the experience, is also casting out demons in the name of Jesus. And so John was jealous, and John said, you know, we better stop him. You know? This shows to us, one, the desire of God to make prophets of all his people, just like the longing of Moses in the first reading. Would that people of God be all prophets? And so the fullness of the Spirit was given to the church who is always with Jesus. In her was given the fullness of the Spirit. That's us. That's the apostles. That's with Jesus in them. Now, outside of our circle, there are also people who profess the name of Jesus. They profess the name of the Lord. They claim the name of Jesus to be Lord and Savior. And so what Mark is saying is that they too have the Spirit of the Lord. They too have a share in the Spirit of prophecy. It may not be the fullness, because those who receive the fullness are always with Jesus, just like the church. But it still is the gift of prophecy. And so Jesus says, if they're not speaking against us, then they are for us. Do not stop them. Soon, if they persist on following the grain of truth that they have received, if they're true to that, they will be led to the fullness of truth, which is the Catholic Church, which the Lord has left for the world to have. Now, those in the circle with Jesus, they have received. Remember, they have received the spirit of anointing. They have received the spirit of prophecy, of prophesying. Now, a great demand was placed on every one of those who are in communion with Christ. The words here today is being spoken to the prophets of Jesus, to the prophets of God who belong to Him, who receives the fullness of revelation in Him through the church that He has left the world to have. This reading is for you and me, because my friends, we are all prophets of God. You know this from the catechism. You know this, that when we were all baptized, we were baptized in the person of Christ. What does that mean? To be baptized in the person of Christ means that we are immersed into the priestly office of Jesus. You and I are all priests. We are immersed in the kingly office of Jesus. You and I are kings. We are immersed finally in the prophetic office of Jesus. You and I are prophets. And yet that vocation of prophecy has great demands. Because remember what we have heard a few Sundays ago. To him who is given more, more is given. To all of us who are like the apostles, are always with the Lord, are expected to show more for the gifts that we have received. And here the Lord identifies what are these expectations of the prophets of the Lord, expectations for you and me. Well, he says here, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck. That's the first. It's breathtaking, you know. To all of you, prophets of God, if you cause any one of the little ones to sin, it would be better for you to have a millstone wrap around your neck and throw you into the sea. Is this happening? I think it is. We have seen abuses in our church. We have caused many young children to sin because of the sexual abuse. Has this been given to us? Maybe the great confusion that we have these days, the polarity we're experiencing in this society, maybe the cause of that is we have caused the little ones to sin. It says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into this life maimed than with two hands to go into Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire. You know what Gehenna is? Gehenna is a place outside of Jerusalem. It's a garbage dump. And so that's where the Jerusalemites dump their garbage, and it continues to burn. It says that there because there's lots of decay there, there's warm there. Also, Gehenna is the site outside of Jerusalem where the Canaanites in their worship of the god Molech would immolate their babies as a sacrifice to the god Molech. That's how we got the word to immolate from the god Molech, who was the god of that place. You know, they sacrificed their babies. Now, Molech would be standing like this, and then the statue would be heated up thousands of degrees, and they would put the baby in the hand of Molech for the baby to burn. That's horrible. We do that every time we do abortion. the killing of the young? Is that the reason why the voice of prophecy is stilled? I would say so. And so, my friends, today, this reading is really for us. It's a wake-up call that for you and for you and I who are called to this office of prophecy, we are called to greater holiness. We are called to be prophets. Well, what is a prophet? A prophet is not necessarily the one who foretells the future. No. A prophet is one who can read the sign of the times. A prophet is one who knows the word of God that was spoken in the past and let that word inform what's happening in the present so that we can march into the future with wisdom and confidence. That's what a prophet is. And I said this is a call for us because we are prophets of God, and it is expected that for prophecy to come forth, it must come from a heart that is pure, without sin. The more sinless the prophets of God are, the more prophecy will ring true. We see that in the life of Saint Lorenzo Ruiz and his companion martyrs. These are the men and women who have their antenna tuned in to God. See that's what it means to be tuned in to God, to be tuned in into His will and to His words, so that when they were faced with persecutions, they could see clearly that this is not the final destiny. They were given unbelievable, horrible tortures. You know, by the way, a side comment. If you have not seen the movie Silence by Martin Scorsese, watch it. Because the torture that the Japanese people gave to the Christians there were exactly what they received. But they were prophets. They were pure of heart. They know the will of God. And so they could laugh at the face of persecution. They could proclaim right there and there, just like what Lorenzo Ruiz said, if all of these tortures that you're giving me, I am going to die with all of these tortures, but where I be given 1,000 lives to live, I will live every single one of those for God. He knows the will of God. He sees the reality in the present situation. And so he will march forward, proclaiming the will of God. My friends, we are all prophets. And today we will be strengthened by the very body and blood of Christ. May our partaking of the Eucharist today renew our conviction to go forward and proclaim the gospel even to the cause, even at the cost of our very lives and our reputation. Amen.